There are some that are joining us by way of live stream this morning. I would like to speak to our live stream audience just for a second. I know some of you do not yet have services in person, and you're live streaming us, and we are praying that you can get to an in-person service soon. I know some are from our church, and you're still holding out because of health issues or compromises. I want to say to you this morning, we miss you. I want to say to you this morning that we have a place for you. You're part of our church. I want to make sure we invite you back, and we certainly look forward to the day that you can be with us. I want to talk to you that don't have a pastor this morning. Some of you are watching us that do not have a pastor right now, and I pray that the Lord will meet your needs and your church needs in these days. We have a number of different groups out there that are live streaming our services, and I just want to speak to you this morning briefly. We're in Isaiah chapter number 55. We're dealing with a passage written by Isaiah the prophet. Two chapters earlier, he wrote that great messianic passage that we know of Christ, speaking of Christ and all that he would suffer for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Who hath believed this report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Wonderful passage in Isaiah chapter 53. He's dealing here with his people, and his people are in Babylon. They are in captivity. And he's writing to them, and he's appealing to people that are thirsty. People that are thirsty. This passage speaks not only of the coming kingdom age, speaking of the millennium, but speaks of the present spiritual kingdom. Israel's days, their greatest days, are yet ahead in the millennial kingdom. That's coming for God's people, the nation of Israel. But God is also dealing with the people that were in that present day, that were facing what they were facing, and those that had grown thirsty. You know, humans have a constant craving in their hearts for purpose and meaning in their lives. We search for things that will bring us fulfillment. We try to fill that emptiness through a variety of different things. Here the prophet Isaiah is really an evangelist that is concerned for souls that have sought fulfillment and satisfaction but have come up dry and are thirsty. I have 2 points this morning: God's invitation and God's instruction. I want you to look at his invitation first in verse number 1. I want you to listen to this verse as I accent the words that express invitation by God. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. God has an invitation here. He has an invitation to people like you and me. Ho is like a startled cry for help in the night. Jesus comes out of nowhere and begins to make an appeal to individual people. Years ago, he made that appeal in my life, and I thank him for it. And he makes the appeal today in people's lives. Ho! Ho, everyone that is thirsty. He wants every thirsty soul to taste of the living water and taste of the bread of life, who is Jesus himself. Notice here the invitation is extended to everyone. It's not just to the Jews and it's not just to Americans, brethren. I want you to know it is to everyone. Ho, everyone. I want you to understand that when he died for the sins of the whole world. In John 1:29, it says, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." It's of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Listen, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As we sang in the song this morning, whosoever will may come. And the verse of scripture accentuates that truth this morning. Ho, everyone. But I want you to understand that it includes the ones and is limited to the ones that are thirsty. The Bible says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. From all different parts of society, from every race and tribe and tongue and color and nation, he invites all, ho, everyone But the only ones that he can fill with the living water are the ones that are thirsty. Thirsty. One must have a spiritual thirst to seek the Lord and have salvation. Thirst, you see, friend, means that there's a deficiency. The invitation is given to those who realize that they are lacking, that they don't have what satisfies. Turn over to Psalm 107, verse number 9 this morning. Psalm 107 and verse number 9. The Bible says, For he, my friend, you can, but he can. For he satisfieth the longing soul. Oh, that soul that is searching, that soul that maybe is blind, that soul that has brought in a lot of things into a life to find fulfillment, but still doesn't have it. That longing soul, oh, that's the one that Jesus satisfies. And he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Who are the guests here invited in Isaiah chapter 55? They are all those who thirst. They are all those that realize they have a need. Now listen to me. I believe the message has a two-prong application this morning. I believe that there are those that are thirsting that are lost without Christ. And they need Christ to save them and fill their soul. But I also believe there are Christians who are living with longing. That is, you're thinking in your life, there must be something more than what I'm living. There must be something more than getting up, eating breakfast, getting ready for work, going to work all day, turning around and coming home, eating supper, and going to bed, and redoing it all over the next day. Folks, I understand there are patterns to our lives. There are routines to our lives. But life isn't just about those things. Life is about a walk with Jesus. Life is about Jesus filling your soul every day. And notice in this passage, he speaks of the word return to the Lord. Dear Christian, when we drift, part of drifting means that we begin to thirst. Thirst. I'm speaking this morning on this thought, God's appeal to the thirsty soul. To the thirsty soul. At the crossroads of life and on the pathway of life, God puts up a sign. Thirsty? Question mark. Thirsty? Where you're at in life right now? In the wilderness of life, when life is dry, when life is a grind, when life lacks fulfillment, God puts up a billboard that says, thirsty? Thirsty? Hey, I've got the answer if you're thirsty. And the message this morning could be a billboard in somebody's life this morning. Somebody that's lost or somebody that's saved but has drifted and lost purpose and lost meaning in life to say, hey, I'm thirsty, Lord, again. He says, ho, out of nowhere. He puts the invitation before you and says, ho, everyone that is thirsty. If you're not interested in the Lord Jesus this morning, you're lost without Christ, and you say, preacher, it just doesn't interest me. Just, I know others believe it, but I haven't believed in Christ, and I'm just not interested. Then, my friend, you're not thirsty. You're not thirsty. God's got to bring you to a point of being thirsty. But to the thirsty this morning, there is an invitation. Ho, everyone that is thirsty. I want you to see what makes us thirsty. It's the priorities of our lives that often bring about thirstiness in our lives. Look at verse number 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. I want you to understand he's asking a question here. Why are you spending all of your resources, watch this, on things that do not satisfy? All right? Why are you spending money which is not bread. Wait, bread is nourishment, right? Bread is something that helps me and strengthens me, keeps me going in life. If we were reduced to bread and water, thank the Lord, we could still go in life. Why are you spending on things? Why are you spending your time and your life and your money and your resources and everything on things that don't nourish you? Brethren, Americans have been great at that. Christian Americans have a tendency to spend everything on things that do not satisfy. And he asked these people that are in bondage in Babylon, why are you spending money for that which is not bread? And why are you laboring for that which satisfieth not? You understand your money and your labor, the things that we give most of our lives to, many times we're giving all of those things to things which simply do not satisfy. And my friend, when you're there, you're thirsty. Oh, everyone that is thirsty. You know when you get thirsty, Christian? When you don't have the priorities that God has for your life. You get into a thirsty condition. In the East, water is a precious ingredient, and an abundance of water is a special blessing. Wine and milk and bread were staples of their diet, but these people were living on substitutes that did not nourish them. They needed the real thing, which only the Lord could give. The thirsty soul is the soul that is pursuing things that don't satisfy. My friend, it's representative and it represents a soul that is away from the Lord. It represents a soul that has found and tried to find satisfaction and in the meantime has ignored a walk with the Lord. I'm not talking about coming to church this morning. I believe church is an overflow of our walk. We ought to be in church, don't get me wrong. Oftentimes when we start skipping church, it's because we start skipping our walk. Oftentimes when we skip church, it's because, guess what? We found something else that satisfies us, or we think satisfies us, or gives us more thrill, or gives us more stimulation, or helps us, we think, more to be able to rest, and we leave God out of our lives. It's a soul that's drinking of everything. But the thirst is not quenched. There's a woman in the New Testament that was like this. Her name was the Samaritan woman. Jesus met her at the well. You remember that? She had five husbands. She tried to find satisfaction in life. If you have five husbands, you're trying to find security. You're trying to find love. You're trying to find fulfillment. And she didn't get any of them. And in John chapter 4, I want you to turn over there. I want you to see the words that Jesus wrote unto her. She was getting water, physical water at a well. But Christ took that setting that they were in and he transferred it into a spiritual message to her that she needed living water that would satisfy forever. Listen, she'd lived life and tried to find satisfaction in some wrong places. Her priorities were different than God's priorities. In verse number 11, the Bible says in John 4, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And watch this, she was thinking physically. She was thinking by what she could only see with her eyes. Brethren, when we're thirsty, that's how we think. We only think about what we can see with our eyes. What is available right in front of us. We don't see with spiritual eyes. We don't see that there's satisfaction through Christ. Here he says, Jesus answered and said unto her in verse 13, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him in verse number 15, Sir, give me this water. There was thirst for living water. That woman got some spiritual understanding at that moment, I believe, with the help of the Spirit of God. And she said, what you're talking about, Jesus, is what I need. Could it be there's someone here this morning? That what I'm talking about from the Word of God is what you need. I'm talking about the living water of Jesus Christ.
I'm talking about the Jesus that fills the longing soul. I'm talking about the one that died and shed his blood and rose again for your sin. I'm talking about the one that opens up the invitation and says, "Oh, and put your name in there if you're thirsty. Come, come to me and I'll fill you up." I'm talking about the one that offers eternal life to you this morning. I'm talking about the one that isn't just looking for you to give him something, but he's looking to give you something this morning. He's looking not only to give you eternal life, but he's looking to walk and talk with you throughout the day. He's looking to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. My friend, that'll satisfy a soul. That'll satisfy a soul. We put forth much effort for that which is not satisfactory. Yet for the spiritual, that which is satisfying, sometimes we put forth little effort. My friend, if that describes you this morning, you're thirsty. Your life's not measuring up. You're saying, "Man, how long can I keep going like this?" Because you don't have what fulfills the walk with Jesus or the salvation that Jesus gives. People in that day worked hard to dig wells. In fact, in the Samaritan woman's case, she said, "Well, are you saying you're better than Jacob who dug us this well?" We're talking work. They worked hard to care for their flocks and herds and raise cattle and have what they had to nourish them. Plant seeds, tend the vineyards. But the Lord offered them something free. They were laboring. They were exhausted, probably like many of you and I are at the end of the day, just from work. And Christ says, "I got something that you don't have to work for. I have it." The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 17, "Bread of deceit is a sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel." I wonder if you found some bread of deceit, Christian, in your life of late. You gave yourself to something. You sold out to it. You've worked at it. And now you got it. And it didn't satisfy like you thought it would. Ever been there before? I have. Long for something better? Do you long for something better? You know, people that often have suicidal thoughts are people that are thirsty. Thirsty. Life has no meaning. I can't get out of this hole. I don't know what life is about. Did you know Christians get there? You know, I've talked to many Christians that have had suicidal thoughts before. Lost purpose. Lost walk. Lost joy. Lost a lot of things. Thirsty. Thirsty. I want you to understand that the pleasures of this world are expensive. You have to pay for them. Not only are they expensive, they never satisfy. They're counterfeit. They're sawdust. They cannot satisfy your soul. Then where is satisfaction, preacher? You won't find it in money. In fact, the Bible talks about those that are rich. Many of them are pierced through with many sorrows. Jay Gould, an American millionaire, had plenty of that. When he was dying, he said, and I quote, "I suppose that I am the most miserable devil on earth." Huh. Wait, that's a millionaire. Yeah, but it didn't satisfy. Lord Byron had fame, genius, money, lived a life of pleasure. Yet he wrote in his poem, "On my 36th year, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone." What was he saying? Life's miserable. I'm thirsty. I want you to see the people here, the priorities of man, but I want you to see the price of God's offer. Verse number 1. Last part of the verse says, "Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Huh. God's offer is without money. To the sinner, God's offer is without you having to give anything. Why? Because Christ gave everything two chapters before. And so God's offer doesn't require your money. God's offer doesn't require your labor, my friend. God's offer of salvation is free because the price was paid by Christ. What a beautiful picture to be able to drink of living water, not to have to pay for it, not to have to do anything for it. Jesus did it all! And because of that, He offers something that will settle eternity for you. He offers something that will settle your soul, will bring peace and assurance. He offers something that's worth getting up every day and living for, to be able to serve the one who died for me. My friend, do you understand this morning? Jesus offers the real thing that satisfies. Huh. Interesting, there are three different types of drink mentioned in verses 1 and 2. One is waters. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, let him come to the waters, the Bible says. It speaks of abundance. It speaks of quantity as well as quality. There's water for the soul. It's the kind of water that Jesus offers. It's abundant. It's overflowing. The Bible says this when He spoke to the woman at the well. He says, if you drink of the living waters, it'll bubble up and come out of you. It'll fill you up. It won't just fill you up. It'll overflow. You'll talk about it. Jesus will mean so much to you that when you're fulfilled in a life with Christ, it will come out of you. That's how satisfied you will be. Wonderful, wonderful truth. Speaks of wine here, the second type of drink offered here in Isaiah chapter number 55. And you read of it at the end of verse number 1. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wine represents joy. In fact, in Proverbs 31 verse 6, it says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Wait a second. God can take a heavy heart, and God can bring joy to it? That's what He's saying here. He's saying, come to Me, ye that are thirsty. Hey, drink of the waters, but also drink of the wine. Drink of the joy that I give to you. I can give you joy and take that heavy heart that you've had and free it so that you have joy. Second type of drink here. Joy is when you've received Christ as your Savior, but joy is also when He's the master of your life. When He's the friend that you run to right away in your life. Can I ask you a question? Who are you running to first in your life? I know I'll run to pastor. Listen, I want to be a help to you, but you know what? I can't bring joy to you like Jesus can. I can't. You know who you ought to run to first? Well, I'll tell my wife about all my problems. Or I go to mom and dad. They're supposed to be helpers anyway. Yep, yep. And I'm not saying all of those things are bad, but I am saying, ho, everyone that is thirsty, come to the waters. The waters who? Jesus. Come to Jesus. Jesus is the one that offers joy. Jesus is the one that offers relief. Jesus is the one that frees from guilt of sin. Jesus is the one that takes the backslider that was on a miserable road and turns him around and puts him on his feet again and gives him forgiveness of sins and gives him new purpose in life. Oh, that's my Jesus that does that. Come drink of the wine, He says. Thirdly, He says, come drink of the milk. Milk's essential for growth, is it not? It's essential for development in your life, especially for babies. The dairy industry for years has been telling people everybody needs what? Milk. Milk. I love milk. Just so you know how it works in our house, my wife buys 2 gallons of milk every Monday. One goes in the main refrigerator, one goes in the refrigerator in the basement. I try to make those 2 gallons last the whole week, because if I drink too much during the week, then I have to go some days without milk. And so I love milk. I thought I loved milk, and then Bev Bowman told me Jim Bowman really loves milk. Right, Miss Bev? Milk is something for some that they enjoy. But more important than that, strengthens your bones, right? We know that it has that type of effect on the body. He says, hey, drink of the milk. It's free. You have to go out and buy it. It doesn't run out every week. It's right here. The milk. Thirsty Christian, I'll give you another reason why you're thirsty. Priorities are wrong, but secondly, you're not getting the milk. The milk of the Word. We know in the New Testament it's compared to the milk. As newborn babes desire, he was speaking to experienced believers, but he was using the illustration of babes. Hey, babes desire milk. They learn quickly how to eat milk. Hey, as newborn babes, Christian, get thirsty again. Get the milk. Get the milk. Get it every day for your life. I want you to see not only God's invitation this morning to the thirsty, but I want you to see God's instructions as I wrap up the message. Verse number 3, God makes the invitation in verses 1 and 2, but verse number 3, he begins to give instructions. See, preacher, how am I going to get out of this condition of being thirsty spiritually? Well, you either got to get saved, or as a Christian, you got to return. Now, here's what he says. First of all, incline your ear. Really, he's restating what he said in verse number 2. If you look in the middle of the verse, in verse number 2, he says, hearken diligently unto me. You realize that the first step in returning to the Lord is listening, putting your ear to His voice again. Inclining your ear and hearkening diligently unto me. Incline your ear and what? Come unto me. Now watch this, folks. Sometimes we hear, but we don't take the second piece of instruction. And the second piece of instruction is come unto me. Now I asked myself as I was studying this passage this week, why is that true? Why can I hear from the Lord but not come to the Lord? And I only could conclude this, that when I don't come to the Lord, it's because I don't realize that He has only what I need. Brethren, we hear a lot. At Mount Zion Baptist Church, we hear a lot. We hear on Wednesdays. We hear 3 times on Sundays. Sometimes we hear in missions conferences and revivals, and maybe hopefully you heard in your devotions this week from the Lord that you heard His voice. But that's not the end of God's instructions. His instruction is then, come unto me. Now watch this. In verse number 3, these instructions are given because the soul is on life support. A thirsty soul is a soul that's on life support. A thirsty soul is a soul that's either dead spiritually altogether because they're not saved, or it is a soul that is saved but almost died dead spiritually. And he says in verse number 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall what? Live. Brethren, I think we have an overestimation of our souls many times. I think we come to church and sometimes we have an overestimation of our souls. We think we're living because we're looking forward to doing this and this and this this week. But what we don't realize is really we're thirsty. We're thirsty. Because if we had the joy of the Lord, we'd be looking forward to what we're doing with the Lord this week. That's what would be fulfilling. That's what would be exciting. Boy, I can't wait to get into the Word. Boy, I can't wait for Wednesday night. Oh, God, speak to me. He says, you're in need. You're thirsty. Incline your ear and come unto me. Dear Christian, when was the last time? I think it's a relevant question this morning. When was the last time that you came before the Lord? And you came before the Lord needy. I'm not talking about the needs of others this morning. I know we come before the Lord on the needs of others this morning. But I'm talking about you. Let's personalize the text. When was the last time that you heard God's word, daily devotions on a radio broadcast somewhere, live stream in a church service, you heard and you came to the Lord and said, Lord, I am needy. Lord, my soul is not as alive as it should be toward you. God, I'm thirsty. God, I'm dry and I'm living in a wilderness. Christian, when was the last time that you admitted that to the Lord? God's willing to fill the thirsty soul, but brethren, we have to come to the Lord with a thirsty soul. We have to understand that we are thirsty. A lot of Christians today walking around, their countenance tells it all. They're thirsty, they're dry. My, I'm just plodding. Dear Christian, come unto Him as a thirsty soul, saying, Lord, I need you to fill me up again. Lord, I don't have as much of you as what I had before, it seems. Lord Jesus, I've lost you as the apple of my eye and my delight. Lord Jesus, something's wrong. Lord, I need you to fill my thirsty soul. Could it be that there are Christians here this morning that you haven't come to God thirsty in a while? But indeed, you're thirsty. Incline thine ear. Seek the Lord immediately. Seek the Lord immediately. I want you to see that the Bible says, seek the Lord here. Verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. May I say this morning, you're in a Bible preaching church. You're in a church where the Spirit of God meets with us. God is near this morning. You know one of the times you ought to seek God? You ought to seek God in a church service. You ought to take some time and bow a knee and seek God while He may be found. That's important. Means immediately. Means get to it. Today. Today. Seek God today in your life. One of the clearest Old Testament invitations here is to seek God while He can be found. You ever been to a store before and you saw an item on sale? $100 off this dryer. Man, we need a dryer. Man, that's a good deal. Go in there, get to the store. Oh, sale ended yesterday. Oh. The store dictates the offer, doesn't it? And if you showed up a day too late, oh, sorry, you're paying full price. Maybe once in a while you might get a sales representative that would give you that discount. But it's over. Brother, the indication of the Scripture here is there's time to seek the Lord. That's why He's near. That's why He's talking to you. That's why He's willing to still speak to you. It's when the Holy Spirit's reproving gently in your life or strongly. Hey, He's near. Hey, seek the Lord. Hey, thirsty soul, you better go after God. You better make God your pursuit again in your life. Seek Him while He's here. Remember, the Spirit will not always strive with man. According to Genesis chapter 6. In the parable of the Great Supper, God closed the door on those who spurned His invitation. He sent people out into the highways and byways. Come, for all things are now ready. And they began to make excuse, one right after another, in Luke chapter 14. And then He said in verse number 24, He said, for I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. We invited, they excused themselves. They excused themselves. They excused themselves. Now none of them are invited. Seek the Lord. Call upon Him while He is near. God's near in a preaching service. God's near in chastening. God's near when trials abound. God's near. Let me say this. Call upon Him while He's near. Call upon Him while He's near. You say, preacher, I don't deserve that He would be so tender to me and fill my thirsty soul. It seems too simple, preacher. I want you to understand this morning that the Bible says in this text, and we use this verse for a lot of things, but it's in the context of God showing mercy and abundantly pardoning people. And it says in verse number 8, for His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. If you're lost here this morning, joining us by way of live stream or in the service, I want you to understand this truth. It is man's bend to try to figure out a way for him to make himself presentable to God. That is not what salvation is. You cannot present yourself to God. You know what you can do? You can call on God for help. And the Bible says here, when the wicked forsakes his way and he calls upon God for help, I want you to see that God has mercy upon him. Look at verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. My friend, whether you're a Christian or you're unsaved this morning, the best prayer that you can pray is, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I have nothing to offer you. Lord, I don't deserve that I would be able to return to you as a backslidden Christian. I don't deserve that, Lord, that I would be able to come to you as a sinner. But Lord, I just call out for your mercy. You find it in the New Testament. You find it in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, where the two blind men said, Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. You find it in the woman of Canaan that came out of the coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O son of David. Listen, there's no perfect prayer. It's just simple calling out to God. God, I need your mercy. The gospel's God's way. It's not man-made. No man could have ever devised it. God devised it. Paul said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the work of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus. That's what the gospel is. And it was set up by God. His grace and his mercy is far beyond. Far beyond anything we could ever imagine. I close. The people... problems today are not mental problems. You may say, well, I have great things that I have to overcome mentally in order to come to Christ. No, you don't. You have one thing to overcome. That's the sin in your life. And coming to Christ about your sin. That's what you must do. Christ already paid for all of it. He's ready to forgive and cleanse it. He's ready to pardon, forgive, and spare you. I want you to understand in verse number 12, the Bible says, For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. He says in verse 13, Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. It's a cypress tree. Refers to something of great strength and something that has great resistance. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Don't know if you've ever looked up a myrtle tree on the web. If you haven't, go to Google this afternoon. Type in myrtle tree. Click images. You know what you'll see? Absolute beauty. You know what God does with a thirsty soul? He says, You come to me and drink of the waters and of the wine and of the milk. And eat of my bread. And I'll tell you what's going to come out of your life. Joy and peace and strength and beauty. That's what he offers to the thirsty soul.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.com. www.thefellowshipfor.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,